What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to Value Town, the series finale of Value Town. I'm your host, Chan Man V. Joining me, as always, my partner in crime here, Mayor of Value Town from Team Solo Mid, Trump. How are you doing today, buddy? All right, cool. And joining us for the first time, we've got Mike Dene, who is a former designer for Magic the Gathering, WoW TCG, and is currently a Blizzard Hearthstone senior game designer. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks very much. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, so Mike, we've had Ben on the show, we've had Eric on the show. Now it's your time, or it's your turn to face the firing line. So are you ready for all these questions we got
Great.
Today?
Can't wait.
Yeah, cool.
I love talking about Hearthstone.
Yeah, so do I, man. I think we all do. So this is going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. So what we're going to do today, just kind of giving everybody just an idea of what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing an interview with Mike. We got a lot of questions, a lot of great questions. I've seen some of the questions you guys have tweeted too, so I'll try to incorporate some of those. So we're going to be doing that. Then we're going to follow it up with some Q&A from you guys. And again, tweet all your questions you want to ask. Actually, Trump and I. And we'll finish off the show just kind of doing a wrap-up of Value Town and all that good stuff. We'll talk, you know, me and Trump, we'll just kind of talk a little bit about just Value Town in general. But let's kick things off with some questions, and I'll start off. I think Trump and I will just kind of go back and forth. I'll start off with Mike. So Naxxramas, the release is fine. It's concluded. It's fully released at this point with all the cards and all the dungeons. For me, it's been a really great release. I've enjoyed the last 5 weeks and enjoyed being able to do Value Town like right after the release too. So it's been nice being able to talk about the new cards each show. But want to ask you about just to have you maybe tell us one good thing and one bad thing that surprised you in this whole process.
Sure. What I really liked about it is it got some of my friends who weren't, and the many players who weren't naturally deck builders, to start thinking more about deck building. Gave them really clear direction, like, oh, against Mexna, my creatures keep getting bounced, so what would be good against that? I need to beat this boss. And they'd start trying Battlecry creatures and then eventually cheaper Battlecry creatures, and they sort of figure it out. And then there were so many other challenges like that, they sort of got more comfortable with building decks and building decks to certain requirements. That was kind of nice. Something bad about it. I think maybe it was a challenge at first to get people. There's a few people who talk about how they just can't beat heroics. And I think that's definitely a challenge, and I hope to encourage them more. We talked about how much we should encourage people to try the heroics, and not just try, but also to customize their decks. Mm-hmm. Some people just try their already built decks against heroics, and that, obviously a problem sometimes.
Almost might every time, actually.
Yeah.
Now the great thing about heroics, and especially Trump here, and I know a few other streamers, that they've showed that you can actually beat the heroics with free to play decks. So anybody can beat it, it just doesn't matter what cards you have. So that's the really cool thing about it.
Yeah, I saw a guy on Reddit. He gave a full list of all the decks, free to play versions that beat every heroic in videos. That was really sweet.
Yeah,
absolutely. Shout out to that guy.
Trump, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to these Naxxramas heroics, I'm glad that you guys put all this cool labeling on it. This is extremely difficult. You won't bait. It's not for the faint of heart. You won't beat it your first time. Expect to die a few times. And when I first started, I was whatever. I'm just going to use you and roll over everything. And I'm really glad that didn't happen. So that is really good design. I love that you guys did make it very difficult, but fair, and it required creativity to beat them.
Yeah, it's very puzzle-like, and that was what was really, really cool about the adventure mode in general, and just the release that way.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot from it too. We know that the puzzles, people really love the puzzles, and the very specific sort of hints at what direction to go, and we're gonna definitely learn from that for our next thing that we do.
Trump, you wanna follow up with a question here?
Sure. So out of all the wings, my favorite has been the one with the with Lothed. That's the second week, the Plague Quarter. And what I really liked about it was just the Hunter Challenge, which I think is the best one out there. I'm sure a lot of people say the same thing. And just the Lothab fight in general, it was very creative, and with Lothab having that much health and having the spawns. What wing was your personal favorite?
Lothab was awesome. Hunter Challenge was awesome. My favorite is probably Wing 4, Construct, the Construct Quarter. Okay. It not only did it have like lots of cool fights, like where your Thaddeus, where your health and attack are swapped, that sort of made you think about cards. Like every turn it happened, you were expecting it and you're still surprised. You're like, what?
Right.
And that was cool because there's lots of different things you could do there that were clever, like, you know, Big Game Hunter and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But also, like, the cards you got from that wing were some of my favorite build-around cards. I liked the Mad Scientist because it let me play the secret decks I always wanted to play. I liked the guy who silences your team. He's, like, not necessarily the most powerful card, but he really makes you think a lot. And he makes you wonder, like, what can I do? What, you know, will it work out? And people discover, like, oh, Ancient Watcher with this guy and so on.
Yeah, the Construct Quarter was, I think, by far the wing everybody was looking forward to from the standpoint of new cards and being able to integrate them. Just lots of powerful cards in that deck. I think the second one, too, was my favorite. I really enjoyed the Hunter Challenge. And you mentioned learning a lot of stuff from the Adventure Mode. So is that what Adventure Mode's going to be? Is it going to be along the lines of what we saw in Naxxramas, just moving forward?
I think that we'll learn a lot from Naxxramas, but we haven't designed the next Adventure Mode yet, so
okay.
We'll just talk about it a lot. We'll have a big meeting at the end of this all and talk about what people liked and didn't like and sort of say, how can we make it, you know, even cooler the next time? Or can we surprise people again with how awesome it is? A lot of people said they had expectations for, like, the first Adventure Mode and that we exceeded those expectations. And can we do that again? I want to. So I'm not going to settle for just the same thing.
What were your personal thoughts on just releasing one per week? Did you end up, like, at the end of this, did it feel like it was the right decision, or would have just a big release been better?
I was very happy with how it worked out. I wasn't sure exactly how it was going to feel, but turned out people tried lots of new cards the first week and lots of new cards the next week. And, like, every week it was surprising how many people were trying, you know, every streamer was like, I'm going to try out this card. And even cards that I thought, you know, weren't going to be as popular as they were, you know, like Battle Cries cost you more. I didn't really expect that to show up until there was, like, a Battle Cry format. But, you know, I think Forsen ran in his Miracle Rogue deck the first week. And...
Yeah, he did. It's true.
So I was very happy with it. I think that if I could use that technology more in the future, I definitely will. So much more fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it a lot too, and I think just people in general who have that deck builder spirit in with them, it's almost like five releases. And everyone that we have on the show is always like, oh man, we really want more releases. Which is a question we'll get to later.
Yeah. It was seen even just the, you know, having deck wars each and every week and having it impacted by each release was really, really cool to see. Just the metagame kind of shifting just a tiny bit each and every week, sometimes actually like very drastically. But that was a really cool experience and, you know, look forward to seeing some more of that type of thing in future releases. Trump, want to follow up? We don't have a good system here.
Sure. You mentioned that one of your favorite cards this week was on week four was the Mad Scientist. We recently had Reynad over here on Valuetown, and he made the bold statement that Mad Scientist was not just the best card in Naxxramas, but perhaps the best card in the game, since it not only gives you the draw, but it, like, you get the 2-mana 2/2, which is better than the Loot Hoarder already, and you not only draw a card, but you also get the mana to play it, so it's like a Loot Hoarder. It's like you draw the Innervate, and you draw the Secret, and you get to play it. So he made the comment that it was too strong, so in general also, though, you did push a secret agenda, like an agenda of secrets, like making them more powerful with this set, it seems. How do you feel about the card, and do you think you do you think secrets were pushed at a good level?
We definitely did have a secret agenda. Secrets are a cool way to interact and bluff and surprise that Hearthstone doesn't have that much. Like, taunt creatures interact and so on, but secrets really, really add a lot to the game. So we increased secrets playability. And Raynad's comment was, well, there was another thread, like, right underneath it in Reddit saying, not as good as it looks. Mad scientist, not as good as it looks. So I like that. I like that there was two conflicting opinions by expert players, you know, posted at the same time the first day. And everybody changes their opinions over time. So we'll see in, like, 3 weeks, does he still feel that way? It's a good card for sure. You know, it's good value. But sometimes when I'm playing against it, I'll get out some small creatures, and he'll get a secret, and I'll be like, oh, he got a secret. Let me test it with my 1/1. You know, and he wastes a freezing trap on nothing. And I'm like, great, thank you. Or I'll test it with my battle cry, you know, and now my Defender of Argus is back in my hand, and I can Defender of Argus again, right, which for sure ends the game. So it's not all upside, and I like that. We'll have to see in the future if it's actually...
I think the audio's cutting out a little bit. You guys still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, yes. Yeah, audio's cutting out a little bit there.
It's cutting out for Mike from my side.
Yeah, me too. Well, hopefully it'll get better there. We'll see if it improves here. Yeah, the thing about Mad Scientist, you know, I think when Raynad was talking about it, he was talking it specifically with the Hunter deck, because we talked about the Hunter deck you know, just in the deck talk portion of the show. But what I really love about Mad Scientist is it's really encouraged just mage play, just mage secrets, because mage secrets have been such underused outside of maybe a freeze mage when we talk about ice block. Uh-oh. One sec. Crap. Oop. I think I lost you guys. Sorry about that.
Hey, Chris.
Hey. Restart the camera real quick. Yeah, the Skype cut out on me there. Sorry about that.
You may need to restart the call since it says something about video calling not working.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, video calling is not working. I need to restart the call.
All right, let me do that real quick. There we go.
Oh.
I apologize for that. Sorry, guys.
There you go.
There he goes. Okay. Back. Okay. We're back. So right. Getting back to the question, I guess Mad Scientist was a big focus on just having mage secrets be a little bit more viable. Because, you know, with the Hunters, a lot of people were playing secrets already in Hunters. That wasn't really an issue. And, you know, we still don't see a ton of secrets from Paladin. But what I have seen is a lot of experimentation with mage.
Yeah, I really like seeing the experimentation with mage. I'm a little curious if we'll see any Paladin now that Paladin have another playable secret, but we'll see. But the mage has been really fun. I've been playing a lot of different mage decks with duplicate and getting a lot of value out of that and trying to make it work. I know a lot of people have been trying to make it work. Reels was just telling me this morning that he's been trying to get his mage rush deck to work and having some success.
Yeah, those were good. I think Sho actually got pretty close to the top of the ladder with a mage rush deck.
Yeah, I watched that stream for a while. That inspired me some, too. I don't know if you guys heard it, but I was saying that Raynad's post about how awesome it was you know, immediately...
Yeah,
I think it was admirable. Mm-hmm. Admirable and friends are posting that. It's like, oh, maybe it's not as good as it looks. So it's good to have the opposite opinions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So a question about Lotheb and Spectral Knight. So those particular cards, they seem to, and you can kind of throw Kel'Thuzad in there maybe too, they seem to encourage a minion-on-minion style of play. Do you think we were seeing too many powerful spell-centric decks like Miracle Rogue? So first question is that. Did we see too many powerful spell decks?
When we make cards like Lotheb and to some extent Spectral Knight and Fairy Dragon... Mm-hmm. They're not there just because we see too many spell decks. They're there because if a player is losing to a spell deck and he wants to go to his collection and look for, like, what can I do against spell decks, he finds something. And he's like, oh, this obviously I can put this in my deck against spell decks.
Okay.
And once he finds something, you know, put it in his deck, and now he feels better, and he can probably beat that guy or do better against that guy. And in this particular case, well, there's plenty of spell decks, so great. You can play your Spectral Knights and Lothebs against Auctioneer or Freeze Mage, and, you know, there's a couple more answers for Freeze Mage. Obviously, Wailing Soul is good against Freeze Mage. So having the answers there, if you need them, is important to us. And whether you actually need them or not, we let the players decide.
Okay. So Reynad was talking particularly about Fairy Dragon and like Spectral Knight, the text where you can't cast any spells or a hero power on that particular text. And yeah. I had a follow-up question that was, this type of text is in a way restricting play, right? Like the interactiveness with a spell, you know, you can't actually remove it with a spell. And in the past, you know, you guys have really been against having things that are like that, you know, because they're unfun and that sort of bit, particularly with like the freeze mechanic. So how is this different? And, you know, maybe what we're, I think you already discussed the factors. So how is this different than some of those other things?
It's a little bit subtle. Saying you can't play spells at all is one thing. Mm-hmm. Saying this
I think we lost you there for a second. We lost that answer.
So basically saying that you can't play spells is one thing, and then going from there. But first,
Okay. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, can hear you now.
Okay. So, like, if you say you can't play spells at all, it feels really bad. But saying, like, this one creature you can't play spells on, or this one turn you can't play your spells, it's a little bit different. It's like I'm still going to be able to play my spells on other things. So it feels a lot different. And also encouraging other answers to creatures other than just spells, like, oh, sometimes I'm going to need to play creatures to deal with his creatures.
Mm-hmm.
People saw that in the heroic Saffron battle where, like, you don't really have enough spells to deal with everything. How are you going to deal with these untargetable guys? And they would figure out, like, oh, I could use weapons, or I could use creatures, or maybe Sylvanas will help, or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that type of thing, I think in that sense, like, when we had Ben over, it was basically at the peak of Miracle Rogue, and there are all these questions about, oh man, when are you going to nerf Leroy? When are you going to nerf Gadgetzan Auctioneer? When are you going to nerf Shadow Step? And all that stuff. And one of the things that I imagine you guys at the design team must be really happy about, but, like, the inner designer in me is really happy about is, like, the problem went away without nerfing anything at all. And I'm not going to say it went away permanently, but for now it seems to have been gone. And this has caused the emphasis, basically, with Nex to have a slower game, which also I know a lot of people liked. Like, before Nex came out, there was all these threads about, this game is too fast, this game plays itself, you just play stuff. But with all the death rattles, there's just more finesse and more gameplay, so... was this basically the aim, and was slowing the meta down a priority?
We put in a lot of really good taunt creatures, Deathlord, Unstable Ghoul, Sludge Belcher, so that if the meta was really fast, you could include these guys. And, you know, I mean, we designed them many months ago, and the meta was fast and people used them, and that was awesome. And now, like, if it switches to All Warrior Control or something like that, people are going to take out their Unstable Ghouls, or they'll take out their Death Lords or something like that. And then, you know, there'll be room again for fast decks. So we just give it options, and people decide if they need the options or not, and hope it works out well for everyone.
Okay, so there wasn't a particular emphasis on it. It was just... I guess when you were introducing more cards, you're treating aggro and control equally from the standpoint of in the new cards?
slight emphasis on, like, creatures will be on the board, because the game's more fun when creatures are on the board. And you saw that with, like, the death rattle creatures that are hard to kill, and And you saw it again with the taunts. Creatures being on the board makes the game a little more fun. So definitely post-Nax, there's more of that. And I'm glad it worked out so well. Like, when we were doing our playtesting, we're always like worried is, hey, is this going to simulate the real world? Or are they going to find stuff and build in a direction that we didn't even think about? And it looks like everything's working out almost perfectly. Like, creatures are on the board. There's a mix of creature decks and control and rush. So we got pretty lucky.
Yeah, the metagame's in a fantastic state. This is like perfect for, you know, kind of a post-release and having just all kinds of things on the just in the meta right now. Still a lot of Hunter in the meta, but we're still seeing quite a bit of everything else too. Just very powerful decks. So one of the two cards, there's actually two cards that initially when I was looking at the list of cards, it didn't really catch my attention too much, but as I've gotten a chance to play it, I've actually really, really appreciated just the design of Fugin and Stalag. I really like that there's two cards that are, you know, their bodies are actually pretty good sized, that have synergy between them too. And they actually create a new card, essentially, that gets thrown on the board for free. And then you being able to synergize with your opponent's cards too, I think that's cool. So tell us about that decision, just as a design, from a design standpoint, to have that kind of synergy between two cards.
If you're going to style like we're like a top-down design, which means we thought of how it was right. in the MMO, and then we designed to match the MMO rather than like coming up with like a mechanic and then choosing names for it. And that worked out pretty cool because sometimes with top-down design, you get this crazy stuff you never would have thought of. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun. We tried to put it at a level where some people will opt in to put it in and some people won't, and it feels sort of like that. I'm not sure if people are playing it just to try it out or people are playing it because it's legit correct to play. You know, I actually play it in my warrior control deck and found it to be pretty good. Gives you that little extra late game creature, mm-hmm. and then maybe they'll run out of big removal and so on.
Yeah, I've been pretty same here too. Yeah, I've been playing it with some too in the control deck, and again, it's kind of cool when your opponent's playing it too, like a priest or somebody's playing the same thing against you, and having that dynamic and who kills Fugin first, and then, you know, who gets the second Stalag, and then their Fugin actually ends up being more valuable than the other. I mean, just that whole element's really, really cool. But that kind of synergy between your opponent's cards has always been, has been nerfed, I think, up to date. And so cards like Scavenging Hyena and even Eaglehorn Bow recently, you know, don't really take into account your opponent's plays or cards. So with this, are we going to continue seeing it being, you know, just being able to synergize with your opponents, if you can install it?
That's something we talk about a lot, and it's got to be a specific case for each card. For Fugin and Stalag, we wanted to have the cool stories and the cool interaction. That's like a legendary, and it's sort of high mana cost, not always going to happen. Not everybody's going to include them in their decks. I think actually the rate they're being included is probably a little higher than it will be a month from now, as people just sort of try it out and figure out what they want. And I think it's pretty cool. It has some really fun moments right now. In general, for like the more common cards, we're still going to stick with the Eaglehorn Bow and so on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that, I'm glad that you left it in. And yeah, at Legendary, that sounds like the right level to have these kinds of things and like Epic and whatever. Like the other time, just yesterday, I was playing against a mage with my good old Control Warrior, and he played Fugin, and I killed him, he played Stalag, maybe the other order. And somehow, like, things happened. I stole his Stalag or Fugin, I copied it, and I had two Thaddeuses, and that was awesome. And then I lost the game. So it was
Then he duplicated Fugin or Stalag, and then all of a sudden he had three Thaddeuses.
It was pretty epic. Crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, though, that just reminded me that with Nax, you've really opened up a lot of classes which weren't being played in the past, like Warrior, like Priest. So I think that you've done pretty well with class-specific cards in the release, and I was kind of wondering if this was planned, like to give extra love to the classes which weren't seeing very much popularity. For example, even before the card was released, Dark Cultist for the Priest was commonly talked about as like, oh man, it's going to be the best card. And of course, before Nax, Priest was commonly regarded as the weakest class. So in general, did you want to boost the unplayable the lesser played classes, And also, just in general, which of the class cards are you most pleased about?
Sure. That's a great question. We talk a lot about what classes are good and also what classes are good at different levels of play. Because sometimes if you just watch streamers, you just know what classes are good at Legendary. But like we look at what classes are good and what classes are also popular. They're both important factors at lower levels of play and sort of average levels of play. And that definitely affected the priest. Our priest card was actually almost a 2/4. And then at the last minute, we switched it to the 3/4 because we thought a priest could handle it. And it definitely could.
And, wow, that's a big difference, actually. That's a good decision.
It is a big difference. And that's mm-hmm. just like the team, you know, the Hearthstone team noticing. It wasn't even from the balance team. It was just like noticing that we need to make sure that priests get the right amount of love. So you also mentioned what my favorite card is. My favorite class card by far is Web Spinner. It's like my baby. I loved it. And I love what it does and how it changes the game. And it has all these fun stories and moments. And when I die to King Crush on Ladder, I'm like, all right, my bad.
So wait, you said it was your baby. Did you come up with the original design of it?
I believe I did, but I don't want to say I did just because we work so much together and we like pitch so many ideas. I could have easily like taken one of Ben or Eric's ideas and just like mutated it into Web Spinner, like making it a one drop or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I actually came up with the whole idea myself. But I definitely made the Hunter Challenge, so beers.
Yeah. Well, oh man. Kudos to you for that one.
Raise your glasses.
Exactly.
Cheers.
Mike. Bring it. Hell yeah. Web Spinner is amazing. My son loves it. It's the one card that can give you any, you know, can give you cards you don't have, you know, and that's always really, really nice. Like King Crush. Like my son doesn't have King Crush, so he goes crazy whenever he gets it. So that's a great card. So I had a question about more aesthetic things, you know, like we've been talking so much about balance. Echoing Ooze, by far one of my favorite aesthetic, you know, just animations right now in the game. So I wanted to ask if there's going to be more of that very unique type of animation for cards, you know, like that. Because right now there are a lot of cards that like duplicate, or just like faceless and stuff. It's very similar with a lot of different, you know, actions right now, just the animations. So I really, really enjoyed Echoing Ooze and wanted to see if that was, you know, a priority, I guess, moving forward.
Yeah, we have some awesome animators, and they don't really get talked too much or get seen much, but they're just so high quality. I'm constantly impressed with their stuff. I see some of the stuff they're working on now, and I'm like, wow, I can't wait for everyone else to see that stuff because they just keep outdoing themselves. And I'm going to say that. I'm going to commit them to making awesome stuff in the future.
Right. Sounds good.
That's great. I guess jumping back a little. So you said your favorite class card was the Web Spinner. Is that also your favorite new card in Naxxramas? And also, are there any class cards that you think you're least pleased with?
There we go.
That's a good question. There's a lot of questions. All right, one at a time. I'm going to go with favorite class card, Web Spinner. I'm going to answer the second one as favorite neutral card so that we don't have too much overlap there. There's plenty of powerful neutral cards, but the guy who silences your whole team is kind of the most interesting to me because you're always trying to do these clever things and you're like, oh, it didn't quite work. Maybe in a different class it'll work. And then like, oh, the next set came out. What looks terrible but is actually awesome because I'm going to silence it, you know? That kind of thing, and I'm waiting. I think that he's got sort of the most fun as a build around. I really like build arounds. I keep trying to get more and more build arounds in every set. And Nax has actually a lot of them if you look closely. He has a couple other things too. What was the next thing?
Least favorite card, I believe, is one of them.
Okay. Least favorite class card is one of the questions.
Yeah.
I think the thing is with the class cards, we spent a lot of time on each one because each class only gets one card. So we got them to a place where we were pretty happy with them. Like, we did not like, oh, we'll just leave that one in even though we don't like it that much. People talk about the Druid one being the least powerful. And before they played it, they talked about being like one of the most powerful.
That happens? Is, what?
Which is legit. You know, it looks really strong. You know, it kills four Ragnaroses all at once. So from a power level direction, that's probably the least powerful, but it just has so much potential that maybe, you know, when there's another card that works well with it, people will be like, oh, yeah, now it's great. You know, a cheap way to make tokens or a cheap way to kill 2/2s. Either one of those could make it into, like, a crazy card. So I don't really have one that I dislike.
Yeah, Poison Seed's definitely the most underused. I think it's the most underused cards out of the new class cards. And, you know, we've seen some interesting Soul of the Forest type of strategies. But yeah. that's about the only thing I've seen in it. Most people still prefer to run without it. We'll see if it changes at all. So you brought up Wailing Souls, you know, the silencing minion.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to ask you about silence in general. With all the death rattles, you know, in that came out with Naxxramas, do you feel there's enough silence in the game right now?
Well, if death rattle's a problem, I'd rather address the problem directly rather than just putting silence. The thing about silence is people build fun combo decks. And if people just are running silence, like two silence every deck, then suddenly their combo gets shut down. And it's not because their combo was too good. It's just because people didn't like death rattles or people didn't like, you know, some other thing that they wanted to silence. I call it like randomly hosing something or randomly just countering fun decks. So if death rattle's a problem, there should be a card that specifically addresses that rather than just silencing everything.
Okay.
Call. I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
And it's like, especially since I play Warrior so much, you gotta let me in on this. What do I do against Savannah Highmane?
Wow. Yeah. Savannah Highmane is a problem. I have a new tech card that I saw on someone's stream that's really good against it. Tinkmaster. Of course, that was your stream.
Exactly.
That'd be good. It can turn into a 1/1. Doesn't get the Hyenas, but that card's probably... Most people don't play that. I saw today someone streaming Priest with 1 Mind Control because he ran into too many Ysera Warrior decks and too many Hymans. Also your fault.
We've been seeing more Mind Control in general, I think.
Savannah Highman in general. What else is good against Savannah Highman?
That's a tough card to deal with. But you do have Shield Slam. I mean, you've got stuff that you can...
Sludge Belcher plus Shield Slam, you know, if the situation's perfect.
It's pretty tough. But, that is something that is making the Hunter so fearsome right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, see, I'm trying to see what some of these questions are. Sorry, kind of going through our list here. Pre-Nax, so you mentioned Priest, you know, being one of the classes I think you wanted to focus on a little bit just because I think you were seeing some weakness in that. So what were your thoughts on Paladin, actually? Because I feel like Paladin had, like, this quick surge, you know, with Kalento having so much success right before Naxxramas, and I wanted to see if you guys were maybe focusing on that, you know, maybe before all that happened, or if that was just an emphasis at all.
Yeah, Kalento had success. Reels also really wrecked with Paladin. He went like 9-0 and with it in a big tournament.
Yeah.
And so Paladin obviously played right and built right, has plenty of potential. And obviously it also did well a year ago at BlizzCon when people didn't know exactly what was going on.
Miniature
Decks. Paladin's still waiting for the right time. There are some cards that aren't class cards that help classes, like Echoing Ooze might help Paladin, even though it's not strictly a Paladin card. And there are other neutral cards, like Priest got helped by the 1-mana 2/3, even though it's not strictly a Priest card. Yeah. So I think Paladin's reasonable. People can choose to play it and do well with it, and it's been proven. Depends exactly on the meta. I think it's pretty good. I think people underrate the new secret. 1-mana for +3/+2. It's like a pretty strong card for the mana cost. People look at the effect, but not necessarily the mana cost. And I think it's slightly underrated right now.
Yeah. Oh, take that as a hint, guys. Yeah. It was tested, and it was found to be almost overpowered. And I gotta say, as a side note, the final class challenge, like, this is probably the one most complained about. Like, I think that in almost all the other challenges, the class card was showed off, and it was, like, fairly good for it. And then here, we've got the Echoing Ooze Avenge deck, which is not really the best place for it. Also, in terms of that specific class challenge, like, there are a lot of Echoing Ooze, and that card was showed off well, but, like, the cards that go with the Echoing Ooze, there just weren't enough of them, I guess, is the general consensus.
Yeah, I needed more Blessing of Kings, for sure. It was not our best class challenge. Lesson learned. We will improve next time.
Yeah, more Blessing of Kings would have just made that challenge even easier, I think.
It was pretty hard. Blessing of Kings would have helped a little bit. Or some big minions. Problem is, if you played too many big minions, he would take them and hit you in the face with them. So
That's true.
It's better to have a lot of minions.
That's true. In that sense, the Paladin was pretty good there.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, well, let's talk about more expansions, since we just finished this one.
Yes.
So, what is the target for duration between expansions moving forward?
That is a great question. We don't have a duration between expansions yet.
What kind of answer is that?
We are working super hard on the next expansion. I work sweat, tears, you know, like really hard on the next expansion, but we don't have a date for it yet.
Okay. But the next expansion, I think Ben, in his last interview, or one of his interviews, mentioned that it would be 100 cards. It would just be cards. It wouldn't have adventure mode connected to it, you know, just in this kind of release combo thing that we've been seeing in Naxxramas. Is that correct?
It's not adventure mode. It's a lot of cards. It's not exactly 100. It's a lot of cards, though. It's more than an adventure. And, it'll be booster pack format.
Okay.
Great booster pack format. This is obviously looking into the future, but is it going to be some? Do you anticipate it being like? This is probably I don't know yet, but is this there's going to be the base booster and then this booster, or when you say booster pack format?
Yeah, there'll be the original Hearthstone card packs, and there'll be the first expansion card packs, and you could buy either one.
Oh, cool.
Okay, That'd be good. Let's talk a little bit about esports. We've been seeing more and more events. I think every day. I think September is just September and October leading into BlizzCon. I think is just going to be just insane from a standpoint of events. Want to get a sense of the design team. Like, what does the design team think about just all this esports? And is it really making them nervous about trying to get OBS mode out faster? Or do you guys have any reaction to it?
I love esports. I started as a tournament organizer for Magic a long time ago,
awesome.
Like in 96, and like a high level judge. So I was very involved in esports, and I helped Wizards of the Coast set up their organized play rules. And since then, I've just been watching events, Magic events and League of Legends events, like every game, Hearthstone. I watch tons of tournaments, maybe every big tournament. And I'm very excited about them. The first year, we sort of left it pretty wide open what everyone could do, and we just wanted to learn because we didn't assume that we knew what the best format was. BlizzCon worked out pretty well with that format, but, for example, people tried out this veto one of your opponent's classes, and that seems to work pretty well, so we're going to pick that up and use that in the future, and we're excited about that. And I think we're still going to keep learning. We're going to probably put out, like, here's a little bit more firmer suggestions. Like, here's what you should do if you're not sure. And then if you are comfortable running events and you want to try something new, that's sort of, like, up to you to do because you have that confidence or that, you know, learned behavior. But in September, I expect to see all the BlizzCon sort of qualifier stuff. And I think that's all going to be put on stream, so keep an eye out for it and watch, you know, the top 16 qualifier in North America and Europe and so on, and see who makes it to BlizzCon, and then follow through. All of BlizzCon's going to be on stream also. So
yeah, I mean, I from the standpoint of BlizzCon, I really like how it's been done. You know, just really incorporating the ladder. I think it's created a crazy competitive environment each and every month. And I mean, Trump knows exactly too. Just going through how crazy the push is for the top 16 spots at the end of the month. So I think it's really, really great. And I guess the question, I'm not sure if you have the answer for it or not, is that are we going to see more involvement from Blizzard, or is this about the right amount of involvement from Blizzard from the standpoint of esports? Because most of it is third parties doing their own events and that sort of thing, with the BlizzCon kind of overseeing everything.
I expect that there'll still be lots of third-party events, just like there is now. Mm-hmm. Maybe Blizzard will help. Maybe Blizzard will iterate a bit on their policy for who gets invited, and you know, maybe we'll give more guidance to people who don't know what format to run. But we're not going to like get in there and take over like some other online games did.
Okay.
Well, this is a bit of news to me that the BlizzCon qualifier is going to be streamed. Can you give a bit of clarification on that? What can we expect?
It'll be streamed. I don't have all the details, so I can't tell you everything. I wish I could, but I know that our community team will put up, you know, specific details, and I'm sure it'll show up on, you know, Reddit and Facebook, and everyone will know about it. It won't go under the radar. I don't know all of it's going to be streamed. I'm sure at least part of it, probably, yeah.
It should be pretty soon too. I mean, we're coming at the end of August here, so. That'd be good. Yeah, September is just going to be crazy. September is going to be a great month of Hearthstone. So everybody watching, you're going to have a great, great month of high-quality, crazy event. It's going to be good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff happening this month in September.
Oh.
What?
Okay, well, yeah. You can't just say that.
Like BlizzCon qualifiers.
Oh, okay. Well, while we're talking about that, like... So here's the recurring question. This would be a good time to put out the observer mode. Or are there any updates on how that's going?
That's a great question. While I am quietly designing and balancing cards, around me there's a frenzy of observer mode programming happening like this. And I see it happening and I look over the shoulders like, ooh, that looks cool. And I don't know exactly when it's going to come out, but... definitely people working on it all around me every day.
What are your thoughts on just the current production? You know, I've produced a few of these, or I've been heavily involved in a lot of production of a few of these events. And what do you think about the switching point of views versus a single type of UI for the entire board?
It's a good challenge. It's something we talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. When designing observer mode. We even tried like some crazy stuff. There's a disadvantage to swapping every turn because you're like always trying to figure out who's on which side and stuff. There's also the advantage of like clearly seeing their hand and what they're messing over and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there isn't an easy solution, but I think we'll start with one solution and just keep iterating and iterating until everything's great, and we'll get player feedback and we'll get the organizers' feedback, like the guys who run the events, mm-hmm. will obviously give us feedback. So let's keep getting better and better.
Okay. So the iPad release. So it's been, 4 months now, I think, since the iPad release. I play it on the iPad every single day, so I'm definitely one of those people. I wanted to see if you had maybe had a sense of what the number of, like, percentage of users are right now that come from iPad, like percentage of users from Hearthstone that come from iPad.
I do not follow the iPad numbers. Not really my not really my thing. But I know a lot of people are, and I know that more will when we release phones and Androids and all that, which is supposed to happen this year.
All right, this year, like BlizzCon this year, or
something. I have like no idea. Yeah. I ask them, they keep telling me when it's ready.
When it's ready, okay. All right, fair enough.
All right, we're going to ask the... you come from Magic the Gathering, so you know what this is. So suppose me and my friend want to do something. Look at us. We're two-headed right now. So there's this talk right now about 2-on-2 and other modes. Is there any such plans, any ideas being thrown around?
I have a great answer for that. Sometimes producers get quoted incorrectly.
Oh, wow.
We are not working on any 2v2 formats. And we have not announced. Every time we were asked, we said we're not working on it. So we are still not working on any 2v2 formats.
That's too bad.
Hope that was clear.
That's a bummer.
Thinking about it?
You know, maybe.
All right. What about an arena format? Since construction Constructed has gotten so much attention of the qualifiers, like, I'm mainly an arena player. What about us guys?
Interesting. Thinking about that. We don't want to, we don't even have observer mode out yet. So we don't want to be like, oh, let's hype up whatever the thing we're thinking about next is. So right now we're just like, hey, how about observer mode? How about next Ramus? About maybe Naxxramas is done now. We'll start talking about what we're going to do after that Naxxramas. But we don't like over-promising and under-delivering. We like to over-deliver and under-promise.
I guess thoughts on just Lore of the Arena, just that type of event and what it's an arena-centric event.
Yeah, I liked it. I play a lot of arena. You know, I have thousands of arena games played, and I like arena. And I like Lore of the Arena. And congrats to Raynad on winning his own tournament. it looked like a really fun event. If they could have drafted 3 copies of a card, it would have been a little bit better. So it'd be nice if we could facilitate some more stuff one day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Definitely. See, any more questions? I think we might have gone through something. Let me see if there's any viewer questions actually for you, Mike. That'd be good.
Sure.
Done a great job at just nailing these. Almost too good. This is too easy for you.
It's been super fun. Like, I love talking about Hearthstone. I talk about it all day. Work with each other, two great balanced designers that never get any mention. Max. Call and Dean.
Uh-oh. You guys still there? Okay. Oops. Oh. Sorry, the connection there was just kind of a little bit slow there. But Max and who? Max? The name's
Max again? McCall. Max McCall, balance designer. And Dean Ayala, also known as Ixar. Oh. One of the other balance designers.
Oh, Ixar's one of your balance designers? I didn't know that.
He is today.
Oh, he is today?
He's been working with us for a few months.
Okay, great. Yep. Yeah, Ixar's a great guy. Known him for a while. That's cool. All right, there's a question here. So new classes, I believe you're not working on new classes quite yet, right? Is that correct?
We're not working on new classes at all.
Okay. Just trying to get some of these viewer questions in here for you. Here's one. What's your favorite type of zoo deck?
My favorite type of zoo deck is Demon Zoo. I played Demon Zoo on ladder for a while with just like 2 void colors and like 5 bigger demons, and it was pretty fun.
Nice. Demon Fire 2 or no?
No Demon Fire. No, it was like 23 zoo cards, like the ones that were least combo dependent, that just sort of stood on their own.
Yeah.
And then like 2 void colors and like 5 big demons.
Pit Lord?
No,
Pit Lord.
No, Doomguard.
Yeah, Cool.
Juraxis, Illidan, and I think I had 1 Infernal. Those were the 5.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Trump,
I see one of these questions on the list that I guess didn't get asked.
Oh.
And chat's kind of demanding it. Any updates on the Android
release,
phone release?
Yes.
It's like for me to ask. I don't even have one of those.
I know. I should have been the mobile guy. I should have been asking that. That was kind of stupid.
Android and phone will be this year. Yes.
Yeah, he already said that. What am I talking about? Yes. Yeah, he did say that. This year, okay. That's good. We still got 4 months of the year, so.
Android tablet and all phones this year.
That's going to be huge. That's going to be so many more people. Yeah. Crazy.
Play anywhere, anytime. Play while you're driving.
Okay. I don't think there's any more questions, Mike. So
that's great.
I think you've done amazing. And, really appreciate you coming on and again, hanging out with us, getting a chance to talk Hearthstone. I'm glad you enjoy it because we enjoy talking about Hearthstone, and it's awesome when one of the main designers, one of the main balance designers, just loves it as much as we do.
Yeah, I play it all the time. Go home, play it. Get to work, play it. Go to sleep, play it. Everything's played. Chris, thank you for having me on the show,
yeah.
And thank you for running the show for so long. It's been awesome. I watch it every week, and all the people in chat also want to thank you for running it. It's just awesome.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. It was, of course, again, I love this game and the community too. So it's just, it's really, really easy to do the show, especially with Trump here. And we'll get to some more feels later, Trump, for sure. But I guess at this point, Mike, I guess we'll let you go and then we'll do some more, I guess, Q&A with okay. The viewers. But again,
great talking to you guys.
It. Yep. Take care, man.
Take care.
Thanks for coming.
Yep, later. All right, let's figure out how to get you on here. All right, there we go. Okay, so let's do some Q&A, guys. And if you want to, you have some questions, go ahead and send it to, or tweet it to @ChamMV. And, just any, I guess, final questions for me and Trump. And we'll call it a show. What about having more than 30 cards? Oh, man, I should have asked that before he left. let's see. Trump, do you think the increased amount of Death Rattle has limited the value of Deathwing, seeing as it's hardly played as it is?
Okay, well...
limited it. Wow.
You know, maybe it's made it better, since you can play all the Death Rattles. And then you play your Deathwing, and then you trigger all your Death Rattles.
That's true.
There's been talks about you having the Fugin and the Stalag in this game at the same time. And then you play your own Deathwing, and then you have Deathwing, Thaddeus, and Thaddeus number 2. Brilliant. Probably too slow to happen, but...
probably, yeah.
No, it hasn't really affected Deathwing's valuation at all.
We did see Deathwing today in the tabletop with you guys.
Ah, yes, that was pretty good against me.
That was, until he killed
it. Almost won the game.
Until he killed a power overwhelming unit with it. That was pretty funny. Okay, let's see.
One of the things that I'm going to talk about in like chats writing over is the concept of deck slots. So... the reason why I personally didn't ask is because they did answer, Ben Brode, I believe, answered already in some interview. So it's like, you'd probably just give the same answer.
Yeah, I think so too.
Whether or not I personally agree with that, I actually don't. But I will, for those not in the know, let me read the quote of BB, who I believe is Ben Brode.
Yes, I think so.
All right. One of the interesting things about the deck slot thing, let's see, is that if you look at something similar, I don't know if it's a great analog, it's bags in World of Warcraft. When you have a 16-slot backpack, it's very easy to manage your inventory, but when you have a massive inventory, it's more challenging, especially when you come back to the game after a long period of time. We're just worried that players who have 18, 30 deck slots can get overwhelmed and forget which one's which. It gets a lot more complicated quickly. 9 is a really great number for user interface purposes. When you're choosing a deck to use to face someone on the ladder, and there are tools like Excel or other things you can use to save your decks. You can take screenshots of them, so it's not impossible, but it's a quality of life thing that can also decrease the quality of life for players who are already struggling to remember all the decks they have, even with 9.
Yeah, I would like more deck slots. That's all I would agree with, I think, a lot of chat here, especially with Naxxramas too. You know, it's like I had to delete, you know, I have to definitely delete some slots when I have to build decks specifically to beat some of the heroic bosses. So that would have been nice to have that ability. But it's a major UI change. I mean, I think that's probably a big thing, and it would take a decent amount of work. So right now they're probably having to prioritize what are important, and I can't blame them that deck slots are probably not that high of a priority, given that there's things like obs mode and stuff I think a lot of people would like to see. That's just my guess. I don't know, but that explanation, I don't know. I'm not that big of a, I don't know. I don't really agree with that, I guess. All right, Dom Fahey asks, Giant Ice Secrets deck. What do you think?
Terrible, because warrior control is a thing.
Yeah.
If back in the day, a month ago, I was playing Freeze Mage, and I kept track of my stats, and my record against Control Warrior was literally 0-14.
Wow.
And I played both the version without the Giants as well as the version with the Giants. So, rip Freeze Mage.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Actually, he posts a link to the actual deck he's running here. I'm trying to look at it. Okay.
Not to mention Flare.
Phew! Well, Flare's the worst. I mean, like, that's the biggest thing right now that's impeding mages right now.
I mean, you may think Flare is the worst, but it turns out that Warrior is even worse. Because you can at least win against Hunter and not go to, like, 1 health. But against Warrior, you just can't kill him.
Yeah, because of just the armor. You know, one thing that I did experiment a little bit with the Giants and the Freeze Mages, Spellbinder did protect at least against the removal from the Warrior, but again, ran into an issue with just being able to have enough damage to kill the guy. It's pretty hard. Warrior has so much damage to remove the Giants at this point, too. It's pretty tough. Okay, let's see. Any idea why Trump's Rag wasn't able to kill Kalthazad? Would have been good to ask Mike. Acer Rain. What's he referring to there? I don't.
All right, so the other day, and I didn't want to spring this on him because it's a really intricate, detailed rules question, which he may not have known the, like, exact answer to, is that, and I think that, like, Ben Brode actually tweeted about it without knowing the full answer as well.
Yeah.
So the way that it works is that I had 2 Ragnaroses out, and the opponent had a Kalthazad and then some other minion. So I ended my turn, and I was like, and then my Ragnaros hits his Kalthazad, and then my other Ragnaros hits his other guy, and I'm like, yes, I win. And then his Kalthazad and his other guy comes back.
Yeah. Oh my god. So it just never dies, basically.
The reasoning behind it is there's probably something to do with timestamps. It says, Kalthazad says, at the end of the turn, return everything to play. Now, obviously, if Kalthazad isn't alive, that doesn't happen. But it is the end of the turn when he dies. So Kalthazad triggers, which says, at the end of the turn, return everything that dies.
Right.
And then the Ragnaros is like, kill the guys.
True.
And then Kalthazad comes to play, bang, etc. So it made it sense to work that way, even though it seemed really silly.
Oh, wow. Okay. Crazy. I've been seeing some crazy Kalthazad screenshots lately. It's been pretty funny with Ancestral Spirits and crazy stuff like that. Good stuff if you haven't tried it out yet, guys watching. See, Thor Danny asked, do you think a dragon synergy would be, I guess, viable or maybe something good to add? And why do you think there's none while dragon is an actual card type? That's a good question. I mean, it is a card type. I don't think there's anything right now in the game that's dragon specific.
All right. I mean, what you have to think about is World of Warcraft lore. Is there actually a card that synergizes with dragons? And then going off of my own memory, I don't think of anything like that. Could it happen? Sure, but...
Yeah, okay.
Just a lot of the card game is based off the lore of World of Warcraft. Like, some of the times, like, we just had Mike say that Thaddeus was a top-down design. Sometimes you have to think about whether or not that just makes sense in the world. For example, neutral spells. It's like, there's no spells that every class can do.
Right.
Other than crafting, perhaps, someday. Like, that's the way that I can see spells be introduced in a neutral slot. But crafting? That is okay. A long story in the future.
Mm-hmm. Trump, from Con the Dog, how does it feel being blamed for the current meta?
Feels pretty good.
Yeah, of course, right?
Pretty awesome. Definitely. Unfortunately, today, like, I actually lost quite a bit with my deck, so I think the meta is churning already.
Mm. Okay, question for Trump again. So, Forsake NXE, do you think there's an alternative style of playing priests waiting to be discovered?
Yeah, I think there's three main ways. One is a zoo method, since Dark Cultist is really good and has Death Rattle. Mm-hmm. You could play it with the Zombie Chow and the Undertaker, so Undertaker Priest. The other one is the control style, which is more traditional right now. And then the final way is like some sort of mid-range. And then you have like the variations. Maybe you play a priest without the circle combo. Could happen.
Priest without the circle combo? Yeah, I could see that. Some of these cards are strong enough just on their own now, just to have priest play more traditional, using that hero power. Such a strong hero power. What will be the best deck at the Sunshine Open? No telling, man. That's what's going to be exciting, because it's going to be a full... Well, it's going to be a half week, right? And so we should see all kinds of decks at all the tournaments this weekend. Sunshine Open, well-played cup. Should be good. What deck class would you recommend?
When are those tournaments?
So the well-played cup is Saturday, and I think both of them are Saturday and Sunday. So well-played cup... was broadcast Saturday and Sunday. Sunshine Open, the one I'm doing, isn't broadcasted on Saturday because it's just going to be just the huge bracket, just open and just having everybody played. And then we're going to be broadcasting right after well played, the semis and the finals. So lots of stuff going on. And I think even the VGVN qualifier might even be on Sunday too. So there's a lot of things going on, but pretty exciting. A lot of things that everybody can enter, which is the best part of it. So that's kind of cool. A little bit of both, a little bit of the known play, well-known players, seeing that, and also just getting a chance for yourself to even play. What do you and Trump think will be the Monk and Death Knight hero powers? Ooh, well, you're better. I think you're better at answering this question. From Armablo.
Okay. There's a good design by Maz, and his power was summon a 1/1 ghoul with charge. Seems on the strong side, but I think it could work. And the monk could just be... Well, the monk I have more trouble with because I actually have not played World of Warcraft when monk was a class, so mm-hmm. I know less about it.
Okay. Will you... Trump, will you ever sing a duet with your teammate Masan?
I'm down to sing duets with quite a few people, so it could definitely happen.
Okay, why don't we do a few more here? Let's see. How is Mogoshan Warden best used?
Wow. Five dust. Five next. Dust.
Wow. Not even inner fire or any crazy stuff like that? Probably not. Yeah, Mogoshan Warrior, it's just not very good. There's like a better version of it in the Deathlord, you know, just one being one less mana, even bigger taunt. Penalty's not the worst a lot of times, so Mogoshan doesn't really have a great place right now. Alright, what do you think about the Shades of Naxxramas from JT Capelli with your own spells like Blessed Champion and Wind Fury? And we saw that kind of crazy combo, right, on Reddit, I think earlier today or yesterday, where they showed that what was it, Rock Double Rock Biter and a Wind Fury the Flame Tongue Totem, some crazy combo.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly one of the ways that I saw Shade working. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have commented, oh, it's not good in any current deck. And like even I have said, it's not good in any current deck, but you can make a deck which is good based off of it. It's like one of those cards mm-hmm. you can design off of. Well, and I can like circle around to the Priest discussion earlier. Priest is one of the classes that you could just play it, and then you wait around a bit, and then you play Divine and Spirit Inner Fire. Like,
yeah,
sounds, it actually seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, and there's not very many classes. I mean, if the Shades gets to 4 or 5, there's not many classes that were at 5 in particular. There's not many classes that can clear it outside of Paladin, I believe, unless you get some really crazy scenarios with maybe like a Zeus Shaman or something like that, but. Yeah, I mean, when it gets to a certain point, you can just let it keep going, and it's never going to stop.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's too unrealistic to just say, wait, and play it on turn 3, wait until turn 8, and then turn 8, Divine Spirit, Inner Fire. I believe that's 32. It's either turn 8 or turn 9, one of those two.
That's ridiculous. I think it's turn 8. That is ridiculous. Ooh, I got to try that. That's good stuff. See anything else? Do you think there's going to be a token druid raise or rising with the Echoing Ooze edition from Rising? I don't know. It's better than, I mean, some people have been using the Creeper recently, right? I think it's better than the Creeper. What do you think? You think it's better than the Creeper in a token druid?
It's hard to say like which one's just strictly better. I thought that it might replace the Creeper in a few decks, like Zoo, for example. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I could see it replacing the Creeper also. But maybe you want both. It's hard to say right now.
Yeah.
And that Ooze is one of those other cards which can create new decks as well. Like Mike alluded to, maybe you should be experimenting with your Paladin Blessing of Might, Blessing of Kings Ooze deck.
Dude, you meant totally, it. Totally. And you could totally do it. And, you know, Kalento had that aggro deck that I played a little bit of, too, that was really successful, like, a season ago. And easily you can integrate that into it. I think he might have been playing it recently, too. So it's easy just to throw in the Ooze into that deck. And then all of a sudden you have, instead of having, like, a Worgen that's stealth that you put Blessing of the Kings, you put Blessing of the Kings on an Ooze. And all of a sudden you have 2 5/6s. That's, like, amazing. Okay, last question. Elsie himself asked, what deck class would you recommend to climb the ladder for a beginner? Just the classic question. Good one to end on. Right now, I guess. Classic
question.
Yeah.
It's Zoo because, one, it's cheap to build. Two, it's relatively easy to play. Three, it teaches you a lot of the basics. The basics involved would be trading favorably on the minions, learning that this game is about board control mm-hmm. and not about going to the face, and learning about the card advantage and the power of trading 2 life for a card. So it teaches you a lot of things, just trading successfully, valuing cards, and not worrying about life as much.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, thanks for all the questions. Lots of tweets today. I wish I would have gotten a few more of these in when Mike was here, but unfortunately kind of just missed them there, but great questions for me and Trump too. Thanks for that. Let's do a wrap up. You know, just kind of a Value Town wrap up. This, for those of you that might not have known or just tuning in for the first time, this is going to be the, you know, at least the final Value Town, at least indefinitely. I'm gonna stop doing all my shows, so that includes Value Town. So this one will be the last episode unless something changes in the future, which I don't see it happening. But I kind of want to start off by thanking Trump, you know, just doing this with me each and every week. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, Crip also for really starting, you know, really kicking off the show and doing the first bundle of shows. It's a shame that the schedule just didn't work out just kind of later on in Value Talent's history because he moved to Greece and that sort of bit. So it would have been great to have Crip on more. But a huge thanks to him, too, you know, like, when we first started, I didn't really know you guys that well. So, you know, I was actually kind of surprised that you guys said yeah to, you know, starting the show and doing it. So really appreciate, you know, you kind of trusting me to, you know, kind of facilitate the show for you guys each and every week. And, you know, getting a chance to know you, Trump, you know, you're a really, really great guy. You know, you're having a ton of success and you deserve all the success that you get. And I hope it continues because you're kind of an inspiration for people who stream and play games. You know, I was there when you had success in StarCraft. You know, some people weren't there, but I was there, and then, you know, I kind of died off some. And then, you know, you found Hearthstone, and now, you know, you're just killing it. And I think it's a great story, and you know, I think you inspire a lot of people, and I hope you continue to do that. But again, you know, I think we did some cool things with ValueTown. The community, I think, you know, enjoyed it, and you know, I got a lot of tweets, you know, messages the last couple of days, and I think, you know, we've had an impact on the community, and that's all that really matters with the show. So, mission accomplished.
Yep. As for you, Chan Man, you inspired a lot of people to make shows as well, I imagine. And it's because of your easygoing, good personality that you have gotten the... One moment. And that basically, you're awesome, and it's because of you that I and Crip accepted.
No problem. I think I hear Mom or somebody probably calling over there. But again, guys, you know, all of you guys that have been watching, supporting the show, again, just hearing just some of the messages where it's like people plan their Thursdays around the show and, you know, plan their trips to work around the show. That, you know, that's good stuff. But appreciate it all. And, God, dude, you know what? I'm getting so emotional, but... yeah, really appreciate it, and hopefully, you know, you guys can enjoy the VODs, and I'll get that last VOD up eventually. You know, it's like the Twitch appeals process takes a lot longer than I thought. I should have made a local copy. I didn't end up making one, so I'll get it up whenever I can. But anyways, we'll wait for Trump to come back, and then we'll close out the show. But good run, definitely a good run. See, I haven't been watching chat. Apparently, chat's been saying I should ask that bad question to Mike.
All right, my gosh, guys,
what is this? Oh my God, Reggie, Reggie, what's up?
All right, leave you alone.
You gotta get closer.
You wanna pass
Hi guys,
what's up?
Wait, who are you guys?
I'm Reginald, the owner of TSM. Nice to meet you guys. That's my brother, Jonas.
All right. Well, cool. We got cameo from Reggie. It's always awesome.
All right, I'm running now. Hey, enjoy your show, and see you at PAX.
All right. See ya.
All right.
Hey, we'll grab a drink at PAX.
Yeah, absolutely.
They bring you a new computer? What is that?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. My new computer is here. TSM, sponsored by Alienware, and finally, we get the new PAX.
Awesome.
Replaced.
All right. Well, I guess we should wrap up. You want to do any shout-outs, thank yous before we call it?
Yeah, I mean, thanks to TSM for giving me a new computer. It's been a while. It's long overdue. And also, of course, thanks to their other sponsors, HyperX and Logitech.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right, guys. Well, that's going to be it for ValueTown. So for last time... Trump, Chan Man V. We'll see you later. Peace.
Peace.